Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Directly next to my girlfriend. It is.
Hey.
this is going to be a travesty of an episode. It's absolutely fantastic.
I apologise in advance.
So do I.
Carry on.
I literally have the flu as well, so please be mindful of that.
Is that you putting on a voice?
No.
You're putting on a voice.
That's a radio voice.
She's brummed. She's like this, bab.
it's like what was it? The Avengers. And he's just like, no, I am not. I'm not putting on a voice.
In case you haven't noticed, this is the latest episode of All New Swinging Through Spider-Man, a podcast where I, James, read through a Spider-Man comic with my mate Brad. And today we're joined by Jade. Hello, Jade.
Hey, I'm Jade. I have the flu.
That's her defining quality. That's yes, the flu.
It's probably the best quality, to be perfectly honest with you.
So we apologise in advance. We're trying something new for issue 52 of The Amazing Spider-Man. What happened last week, Brad? Because you're going to need to get Jade up to date.
Okay. So what happened last week is Kingpin has been formally introduced as part of the Spider-Man universe now. We understand that he kidnapped Fred Foswell, who we know as Patch. He's now trying to get a stronghold on the underground criminal scum of New York. In order for this to happen, he wants to be seen as some sort of a good guy. It don't quite work. JJ, the owner of the Bugle, are running headlines that are basically besmirching the Kingpin. Kingpin didn't take too kindly to this. And now he's actually sent out a hit squad to kidnap JJ, bring him in to Kingpin's lair, where Fred Foswell is actually being held as a prisoner. Spider-Man is now also included in all of this because he tried to save... what was it? Did he just jump into the middle of a kidnapping?
Yeah.
He just literally jumped through the front window of a kidnapping. Didn't realise that the Kingpin was actually way more than he appeared to meet the eye. He is very fast, he's very strong, he's very smart. So he actually bested Spider-Man in a game of fisticuffs. So now we sort of left in a moment where JJ, the person who hates Spider-Man the most, is actually begging Spider-Man to get up and save the day.
Yeah, so Spider-Man's held captive. And Jade, at this moment, you can see a picture of the Kingpin in front of you. One word to describe him, please.
Marshmallow.
Instant.
Marshmallow.
I was hoping you wouldn't say fat. I think that would have been quite cruel.
Not very PC, is it?
You know what? Fat is not a bad word. Fat is a descriptive word. We in the body positive community like to take the word fat and turn it into something that is actually descriptive. As a chunky guy myself, it's not bad. It's just descriptive.
Just love yourself. Love what you're doing, basically.
Damn straight.
Vibing this already, isn't it? So, Brad, shall we... Well, Brad and Jade, shall we jump into the story?
I'm ready to jump.
Let's dive in.
We start, of course, with an unconscious Spider-Man and the editor of the Daily Bugle newspaper, J. Jonah Jameson, who are being held captive in the dark depths of the Kingpin's HQ. So J. Jonah Jameson is now, he's had the blindfold removed, he can see what's going on, and what he can see is the only person who can save him is out cold, being carried to like a voice type device to be locked into. They are not in a cozy prison cell at all. Jameson is begging for his life.
Oh, yeah.
He don't want to be there at all. And he knows the only person who can save him is the person he hates, the Amazing Spider-Man, who, again, is out cold.
What a twist.
The thing is, out cold doesn't even begin to describe just how bad Spidey is at the moment. He gets carried into this...
I was going to say, he's literally in, like, the fetal position.
Like, legitimately, he gets carried in by two thugs, like... He's just like ragdoll physics. Just he's a liquid. He's like liquid in a Spider-Man outfit.
It's like when we used to go out for meals when I was a kid. When we used to go out for meals when I was a kid. And my dad would take, would cut me, like, I'd fall asleep in the car and I'd be in my jeans and my dad would put me into bed in my jeans.
No, I remember this because you'd always
fall asleep. Chocolate fudge cake.
Oh, yeah, always. Always room for chocolate fudge cake. But, like, you'd fall asleep in the car and you'd wake up mere hours later transported to your bedroom.
It's literally been, like, 3 years.
I was a toddler, and now I've went through two years of school.
You went through puberty.
But yeah, no, I think he's going to wake up with some dry mouth. Oh, he's not going to be in a good place.
Oh, yeah, head fuzzy as fuck.
He needs that Listerine, man.
Guys, this chamber he's locked in, it's filling with water because the Kingpin wants fuck all to do with him. Nothing more they're done, they're useless to him. Jameson ain't going to change his mind about reporting crimes. Spider-Man ain't going to stop fighting crime.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of admire the showmanship. Where it's like, I could just shoot you. And literally, with Spider-Man, you could literally just bash his head in with a brick at the moment and he'd be dead. But Kingpin's like, nah, we're going to go for the water torture death.
It's not a good place for him to be.
Oh, of course not.
The Kingpin he's just filling up the chamber and waiting. What wakes up Spider-Man is the screams of J. Jonah Jameson as the cell fills with freezing cold water. Spider-Man, of course, he's superhuman, so he gets free, but that's part one of a few-part plan, because they need to do something now to get out of here.
Yeah,
it's like a fucking solar trap, isn't it?
It's exactly what it is. Like, could you imagine the Kingpin like trying to stuff his fat face behind that tiny little jigsaw mask? So you won't play a fucking game.
And fucking Billy just like wheeling out. Like,
is that the clown?
Yeah,
that's fuck off, dog.
But the thing is, do you reckon Billy floats, or do you reckon he's just sort of like stay at the bottom of the water?
He's fucking wood, I know.
So. We all float down here. That's the wrong film. That is the wrong film. That's it. That's from it, not the Saw.
No, fucking Billy. He's made of wood, and he's the puppet on the fucking tricycle.
Yeah, in Saw, I was on about. I made a quote from it.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
We're crossing all the streams today.
All the barriers.
This is the best crossover event ever. There's so many levels to this.
Mate, all I'm saying is that Shaggy in Mortal Kombat 11, that's the most ambitious crossover I've ever seen in my fucking
Shaggy's
life.
Shaggy's in fucking Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I don't even fucking want to know. I've had enough stress today.
Spider-Man's got to come up with a big plan to save not just him, but his biggest critic, who's next to him, tied up. And this guy is...
Do you reckon Spider-Man ever has that moment where he looks back and just goes, no one would know.
Just to fucking strangle him?
Like looking in the bathroom mirror, just like...
could just leave him here and no one would know.
Yeah, you could just strangle him, put him down and... So yeah, the water's done his job. I'm Spider-Man. I can get out. Everyone knows why I got out.
Right. If anyone has watched a spider down the bathroom, they should know that Spider-Man is pretty much fucked right now.
So Spider-Man's got to save his biggest critic. He's constantly chastising him as we speak for not being quick enough, not doing the right thing, not saving him when he possibly could, not doing this and not doing that. Spider-Man just snaps out of his restraints.
Yeah, just like it's nothing.
He's just screaming.
Spider-Man just literally tells Jameson to clam up.
Yeah, imagine Jameson's voice in that chamber as well.
Oh, it'd echo all the way around it.
And Spider-Man's head isn't in the best place. He just woke up from being gassed.
Oh yeah, he's like the diamond jewel pin on Kingpin's is it cravat?
Yeah, cravat. Yeah, it was his old school cravat that gassed Spider-Man out. Spider-Man went for the final blow. So all of these crimes, mate, the abduction of Fred Foswell and Jameson have left a gulf at the Daily Bugle. The news desk has to carry on. The newspaper must go on. Foswell's disappeared and Jameson's office has been smashed up because he was abducted from it. So in steps Ned Leeds, who he sees the broken office, sees the broken door and suspects that something's gone on. Door's hanging off its fucking hinges. He's like, oh, I don't know what's gone here, but it's bad.
Ned Leeds is like Sherlock.
Ned Leeds is just Benedict Cumberbatch, not Sherlock.
Oh,
he's just a guy. Yeah.
What's that fucking stupid guy? Sorry, my voice is breaking. Is that buy one, get one free? I'm just saying that when I see those windows.
You buy one, you get
the
free.
Oh, the bug off offer. Yeah.
all I'm thinking right now.
For our American audience, do yourself a solid and Google safe style buy one.
That's the one.
That's British culture right there.
The Bugle are going to have to get in on one of those offers at the ground floor.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because that window got done in.
So Ned leads us to step up, and he's got to find Foswell and his boss. And, of course, J. Jonah Jameson's role needs to be fulfilled. Well, filled. So in steps Robbie Robertson, who is the city editor on the newspaper, and he can step in and fill in. The newspaper, it can't just stop. And it doesn't, to its credit, it carries on. Robertson and Leeds, they head out to make sure the newspaper don't fall apart. Ned Leeds heads out on the trail of these missing co-workers, and his fiancée, Betty Brandt, is not having any of it. She's just crying into his arms. It's dangerous.
She cute? She cute?
Betty?
Yeah, she cute.
A bit of background story about Betty Brandt now is Spider-Man literally got her brother shot.
Oh, okay.
Literally. She's been wrapped up involved in a lot of criminal activity.
Okay, this is turning a bit darker than anticipated. Yeah. Yeah, carry on.
She's also extremely possessive. Like,
we don't like the level 10 clingers, do we?
Oh, no, she's basically a dingleberry.
Oh, come on, dog's butt. Oh, I'm going to cut them off. You know them one. Oh, we have a bath.
Okay, carry on.
So, Spidey is now in a completely flooded cell. He's got no other options, so he simply asks Jameson, come closer.
Jameson, I might die here. I want to feel like a man once more.
And Jameson is ready to die.
Embrace me.
He's embracing the sweet release of death. He's choking out on the water.
It is pretty amazing how calm Spider-Man looks in contrast to how fucking shocked Jameson's face is. Jameson, just one more time.
Just hold me, I don't know. No, the sweet embrace of death.
Jameson's like holding Spider-Man and he's like, where's that music coming from? And meanwhile, like Adele's Skyfall comes on.
Desperately trying to keep his head above water.
Jameson says a quote, they can't do this to me, I'm in the prime of life, but man, if the water don't get in, mate, it's the cholesterol. I reckon that's coming next. But Spider-Man's plan, make a bubble or a dome out of webbing and trap an air pocket and just hope to God that list lasts because there's no way out.
Could you imagine being stuck in an air bubble with Jameson? Man smokes cigars every second of the day, man. So you can imagine he's just like...
As I said, my man needs Listerine. Like, total care. You know what I'm saying?
Spidey's made a triple ploy. Thick web dome. He's hoping, that's what he says. That's actually how he describes it. It says it's like being a giant air bubble, but how long can it last? Mate, the tube is full of water and the kingpin orders after 5 minutes that it be drained. So it fills up. 5 minutes of it being full, drain it, and I'm going to let's dispose of these dead bodies.
Like, I'm not being funny, but why would you just leave it 5 minutes?
You just fill the tube and leave the tube.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be cleaned up like today. It's not like the landlord's coming round, you know, to see if he's got dogs or anything. You know what I mean? Like check up on the walls and shit. Like, oh no, the chamber. Oh.
Electric meter.
Yeah, you know what I mean. The thing is, I'd imagine that if there was an electrician or a plumber around, like they would just sort of do their shit, never look at anyone in their eye, just send the memo through the post.
Send the minions around.
That's exactly what they would do.
The goon squad.
The goon squad, yeah.
So this goon squad enter the tube or cell. They see this dome, like this damp, soggy dome, and they say, It's a cocoon? What's going on in there?
You know what the disgusting thing is about this? Is that, like, I've watched these spider sack videos, and I wish I never. I really, really wish I never. Because like, think about it, Spider-Man's webbing looks like actual web. And you think for a second you would be like, yeah, going to crack that fella open. Nah.
No, you'd leave there and walk away.
And the thing is like Spider-Man's quite...
You'd fill it with fucking petrol, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just burn that motherfucker. Just like to the ground. And then you would have to explain to the landlord. You'd be like, look, there was this massive spider ball.
You burn the fucking house down.
So Spider-Man jumps out of this cocoon naturally and takes these two goons out.
Yeah, big double punch, man.
Big double. 1-2. Bang, bang. Yeah, they're both down.
That is.
They both escape, Spidey leading Jameson through this underworld to safety. And of course, Jameson's always giving it him in his ear, going, this isn't good enough. Where are you taking me? You're going to lead us into danger. You're not good enough. They encounter like a group of guards.
And the thing is, I have a feeling like Jameson can't whisper. Like, I feel like even his whispers are still at full volume.
The words have to come through his mustache, though. Like, they have to pass that, and that's going to rustle like a crisp packet.
Nah, it's a diffuser, mate, man. It's a diffuser. That top lip sweep.
It's like a silencer, like a gun.
Can I just interject here with an anecdote? I grew up thinking if you you opened a crisp packet upside down, you get cancer. I believe that from the ages of 10 to about 16.
Jesus Christ.
That affect you?
I have anxiety.
That's no excuse.
The bottom end is the bad
end. Imagine me every time with my fucking salt and shake, like shaking.
Please get the logo, the Lay's logo, the right round.
The thing is, the amount of times that I've opened up a packet of crisps and then looked at the side, be like, oh shit, I've opened these upside down. That's like, that'd be like, if I did that, I'd be like, shit, this is a death sentence. Get me to the GP stat.
Brad, you need to check your breasts or something, man, because
yo. Actually,
fucking loins.
Actual life hack here, right? If you've got like a really good flavoursome packet of crisps or chips, depending on what part of this globe you're from, right? If you open it upside down, that's where the flavour savers are. And you know those...
You don't get cancer.
You definitely don't get that. Unless you stand too close to the microwave, apparently. But yeah, the flavour savers are at the bottom and all the crispy... broken bits sort of make their way down throughout the middle. So, like, you actually get an overall better flavour bag of crisps by opening it on the bottom.
Brad, it's not sponsored by Walkers.
Well, we didn't mention Walkers until you said that. I was actually thinking about McCoy's, to be fair.
Not sponsored.
You know when you have a McCoy and, like, you get that flavour saver? You know the one fella that literally, like, looked...
You greedy fucking crisp.
Mate, it was on the conveyor belt when there was adding the seasoning and just went, I would take it all. My brethren, you are sound. You are safe. And just literally that one, it's like a whole other crisp deep of flavour powder. Oh, I love McCoy's. I love McCoy's so much.
So Spider-Man's got to lead his boss through the criminal underworld. They get to a blockage of guards. Spidey moves in to dispatch him sneakily. But he has to get the other body through Jameson, and he's worried that Jameson ain't got the nerve for it, and he's bottled it.
To be fair, I'm kind of surprised that Spider-Man isn't just, like, Yodering him. You know, Empire, with just Yoda on his back.
Yeah, just, like, carry him.
Yeah, just carry him, innit? It makes sense.
Get him out of there. And he thinks that he's not going to get through it safely. So Spider-Man creates a distraction. He gets, you know, he lays it into the guards, makes a hole for Jameson to run through. And he's like, you got to move. You got to move. You're going to get hurt.
You're going to get fucked up, yeah.
Jameson bottles it. He's sweating buckets. He stays still. Spider-Man then thinks, I've got to lay into him now. He's not going to move. So he goes, you move or you'll be my next target, pal.
Rough. Oh, my God.
He's gone.
I quite frankly, being an outsider and literally just looking at these comic strips, Spider-Man has missed arm day.
What? I assure you he hasn't.
No, look at the legs in comparison to the arms. He's missed arm day.
You were chatting some shit. No, look at the guns.
They're like fucking arms.
Mate, pure definition, man.
You don't know.
Mate, you know what? Every day's chest day for Spider-Man.
Every day is leg day and chest day because he's using them legs to crawl up walls.
Yeah, but he never goes like special leg power. We've heard he's like his chest busting rope abilities.
Yeah. So Jameson takes off and he's too busy being afraid of Spider-Man and looking at the chaos. He runs straight into a metal pipe that knocks him straight out.
Oh, what a dingus, man.
Look at that bung.
He's rattled, man.
But the scene switches to the Kingpin, who's now having a one-on-one talk with Fred Foswell. He's alerting Foswell that, mate, your boss is dead and Spider-Man's dead. you know, we can do this now. We can move forward with the plans. Foswell bottles it. He wanted to help the Kingpin. He wanted to get back into crime, but he didn't want a part in cold-blooded murder. So he's out. The Kingpin turns on him and he gets closer to like strangle him and do him in right there and then. And of course, in steps Spider-Man. Kingpin ready to do the job with his bare hands, mind you.
Double door entrance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Slam those doors open.
Straight in, ready to take our man out.
Just literally, first words out of Spider-Man's mouth, hands off Tubber.
Yeah, oh, that's fat. You can't lead with the fat shaming.
He doesn't even know what's going
not
on.
Very PC.
No, it's not even PC. That's horrible. Come on.
That's literally like me in the work canteen. Like, they're all work for the microwave. I burst in. Like, hi, guys, I'm here. You look at me, I'm just
like, party don't start.
Hands off, Tubbs.
Literally. I'm there with like my three cans of soup and like.
Three cans of soup?
How did you get
three cans of soup in you? You're 8 stone? You're tiny?
I'm not fucking 8 stone. 7.5.
I'm not a massive fan of soup, but I enjoy soup because I like the prospect.
Oh, no, vegetable, yeah.
Nah, I just like the prospect of being able to like eat 8 rounds of bread.
No, but no, you don't have to eat it. You just drink, don't you? You just drink it down.
Depends if it's chunker.
You just swallow it, man.
Just feel the thick chunks of carrot just slide down your neck.
So the scene switches to
all
flash.
All the good girls swallow. You know
Jane, what the fuck? Brad's dad listens to this.
Carry on. Sorry, Brad dad.
Excellent. This is a spicy podcast, this is.
Extra jalapenos.
So the scene switches to Flash Thompson, who's come back from the war
Jesus Christ.
Spring a surprise visit on his pals, and he's playing up the big card. He hasn't actually went to the war yet. He's just been in basic. So he's just been pissing around on the ropes and that. But he's giving it the big one like he's been on the front lines. He bumps into Gwen Stacy, Harry Osborn, and Mary Jane Watson, all of his mates. But Peter Parker and around, and he's a bit disappointed. And this scene simply exists so everyone can say they ain't seen Pete in ages.
Literally, that's it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we ain't seen Pete.
But it's like that scene in the last issue where Pete just drove by the diner just to sort of see everyone.
Yeah, they've put these scenes in just so people can have a time of their life and go, well, Pete's missing this.
Oh, just to further what Pete's missing. At least he doesn't live in like the millennial age where he would have to watch all this on like social media when he gets back home. He's like, oh, fuck, I miss Flash coming back. Christ.
On Snapchat,
on
where
fucking TikTok.
TikTok.
No, it's Flash Thompson just miming too. Like,
just like
I'm a real American by Hulk Hogan.
I was gonna say, they've been on the fucking peroxide, aren't they?
They're all bleach blonde.
Oh yeah, all of them. Mary Jane's definitely sniffing it. That's for sure.
Back
on the fucking cats.
We have said that. Good point.
Definitely.
So, back at the fight, the Kingpin and Spider-Man.
That's literally the worst place to just interject this thing. It's just like, it's about to go down. Fred Foswell's about to get his comeuppance. And it's just like, by the way, here's these guys that you kind of don't give a shit about. And then it just instantly jumps back into the action.
Dude, this comic flies. If you know something about Spider-Man, it goes off.
A to B, man. A to B.
So back at this fight.
A to Z.
No.
There's no letters in between, man. It's just straight AB.
Back at the fight, the Kingpin and Spider-Man, they're engaged in hand-to-hand combat, really duking it out. Spidey eventually gets the better of our man, the Kingpin, by using gravity and his defying physics, leaps over him, and just takes him down, complete reflexes. He's down on the floor. The Kingpin doesn't even know what time it is. He's like, I've never been fucking so unceremoniously knocked to the fucking ground, have I?
He's actually like broke the floor. The floor is all cracked.
It's like the 31st of December 1999.
And then we're gonna party like it's 1999.
Yeah, woo! Good reference. Sorry for doubting you in that one. I thought, where's that one going? Where is that one going?
Mute.
The Kingpin is no idiot.
Yeah.
And Jade, he's going to run away. He's going to run away like a coward. Did you expect that of him?
Of course. But he dips as well. He gets some, like, for such stubby little toddler legs.
Scampering off.
Mate, look at that loafer as well.
Like that one. That's what I look like running for, like, the 9-3-4 with, like, into Birmingham season.
Dude, it's when he jumps into like the escape pod. Look at them shin swinging trousers.
That's what I'm saying, man. Look.
Like, he's gone.
I was gonna say they're fucking like Tyler Mide.
He's Donald Trump thick. Like, you know when he's bending into the truck cabin and you're like, whoa, cake.
She's thick.
But Spider-Man's a bit confused with all this, isn't he? He's like, he's like, what the hell, man? This guy's so large and yet he's like
limber.
Yeah. He says it's like watching a slow-mo film because he's just getting like thrown about.
The Kingpin jumps into this tube, and I have to say, the first thing that comes to mind is he's got undressed in there and he's greased up and shot straight through that tube. And
fucking Vaseline.
Yeah.
Like a Gus,
like a jelly baby.
A Gus of Gloop in Charlie in a Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking suck right up.
Spider-Man reckons, oh, it's easy enough to follow him. He's gone down the tube. Goes to the tube. The tube, of course, blows up in his face.
Oh, it's booby-trapped.
Classic Spider-Man.
You didn't even know Spider-Man. Of course, we've got another bit of plot here, man. It's not just the Kingpin. J. Jonah Jameson is still downstairs surrounded by goons.
Oh, so Spider-Man just sort of left his ass.
No, last he saw, Jameson had run through a door to safety.
Oh, so he followed him through?
No, he just went, I'm going to go deal with the Kingpin, you run away. He's let him through the door and Jameson's run headfirst into a pole or water pipe, knocked himself out.
What a bell end.
So he comes to his senses and he realises, hang on, there's loads of goons down here and they've got guns. So he hides and waits for the end as they're just hunting him down.
Oh, so now his fight and flight reflexes are fucking working.
Well, he's panicking. He thinks he's dying because the water pipe that he hit had split from his head and is dripping on him.
Oh, so he thinks
it's being funny. Sorry. Yeah. Just to interject, it's like his eyebrows are fucking on fleek. Like, my man has been to Mac.
I love how his eyebrows just look like a longer... bigger version of his moustache.
Oh, fucking hell. Like, I could only dream.
It's like someone, you know, Photoshop or paint when you just get the image and just drag it and transform it. Yeah.
Highlights it all and just drag it down. Now I'm jealous.
So he flies into a panic, sprints off. The goons are after him, ready to kill him. In steps Fred Foswell with a piece of his own. He's going to give Jameson the cover so he can get away. You're the only bloke without me. I'm going to give you a chance to get away. I'm going to help you. I didn't want you involved. I'm going to step up.
Now he wants to step up.
This leads to him being shot straight in the stomach.
Oh, what a shame.
He wasn't meant to get shot, but he had a piece and they pulled a gun. The goons have pulled a gun. They've shot him and they're moving in on Jameson as as he bleeds. Foswell bleeds
Jameson's
out.
Jameson's just using Foswell as a meat shield.
He is. And Jameson, just as Foswell's been shot, Jameson still doesn't get anything.
He's literally like, he's shouting out loud, like Foswell is dying in Jameson's arms. Like he's like, oh!
Mate, like his guts are like freaking on the floor.
Jameson's just holding him, screaming, I don't understand.
Spider-Man hears the gunshots and he comes in. He rushes to the rescue and he takes care of the goons. He literally dispatches them instantly, comes in, drops them. But it's too late for Foswell, who has succumbed to his gunshot wound in front of Jameson, who he died a hero, to be fair. I don't know if we can say that, but in the context of the thing.
R.I.P.
He's done too many minus good things to do one plus good thing.
His moustache looks good, though.
He's a good moustache, to be fair.
He should have done the Keanu Reeves in Point Break and just pull the gun when he's on the floor and shoot it into the air screaming.
Yes.
Just unload that clip. But if Foswell dies, he says, it's better this way, I failed. And of course, it's another bloke who's died in front of Spider-Man, and Spider-Man just feels crap.
Foswell's a piece of shit, though. I'm sorry, he is.
Can I just interject again? Like, his package in this last slide, it looks like, yes. It is like, he looks very like, yes, if you know what I mean.
Meanwhile, behind that mask is a face of a teenager that has just watched a work colleague.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he was an inspiration.
He's just watched like missionary porn. He's just like, yes. No, you know what, Tina? Just watch what machine.
It's Queen!
Oh, okay, carry on. Yeah, okay, you might be crying. Well, you don't know what people are in, so, but yeah, carry on.
Why have I got the strangest boner right now?
literally.
Also, I want to point out though that if he did get a boner, it's more or less a foot away from Jameson's head. Jameson is literally crouched over Foxwell's dead body.
Weird boner. You know when you watch like the new Greg's advert, like yeah.
So the police, the doctors, and Ned Leeds finally arrive on the scene with Foswell's corpse being carted out.
Oh, mate. Foswell died out pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah, he got shot and just, he was gone.
Like, he didn't even like have a ceremonial, like...
He kind of collapsed and just
my mama, I love her. No, just instantly out.
A despondent Jameson orders Ned Leeds, you've got to fill the shoes of Foswell. You've got to run a special in this man's honour because he deserves it. And what you have to do is double your crackdown on Spider-Man because Spider-Man cost this bloke his life, apparently.
Jameson is so fucking warped. Like, honestly, how... Oh, he infuriates me, man. I can't imagine what it'd be like working for this bloke, especially when he's headhunting you. Constantly,
it's going to be rough out on here on out for Spider-Man, and he has to flee the scene because the cops are shut. It's, you know, it's all kicking off. He flees the scene to ponder it all and come to his senses. None of this is actually his fault. He feels for once, and he did the right thing.
Oh yeah, and definitely. Mate,
he never ever feels like he's done the good thing. He never ever feels like he would do it again. He always regrets it. And the comic ends with him actually thinking, "Right, I'm not going to get over Jameson. I'm a do-gooder. I'll do the same thing all over again. I'm not going to doubt myself." And that's how it ends. Dun,
dun, dun. No, he's right, because he's had that... He's had that, like, moral, you know...
high ground.
Well, no, moral high ground. It's like, a couple of issues ago, he actually gave up being Spider-Man because he was just fed up of never doing the right thing. And then he jumped... Someone was in trouble. And without even thinking about it, without giving it a second thought, he weren't even in costume, he was literally in his civvies. He just jumped into action and he was like, I do this because it's the right thing to do. And I know it is.
So you can't be doing like good for doing wrong kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like... So he basically had his morals, he had his stones like put in place then. And it was like, oh, I'm definitely doing the right thing. I doubted myself before and I can't doubt myself anymore. I've got to just get on with it.
The issue ends there, mate. And next week, it ends on the hint that Dr. Octopus is back.
Yes!
About time. About fucking time. Jade, the issue's ended. How do you feel about that?
To be honest, I'm quite hungry now.
hungry for some spider package?
Oh, Jade. You should never have made that joke.
X-rated it.
But guys, thank you very much for tuning in and thank you for bearing with us. I know it's a bit of a different episode, so I hope the edit turns out, because we've only got one mic to share. We're probably breathing down this entire time.
Actually, no, the audio doesn't want to be here right now.
Yeah, it should come out good, but man, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's like, it's been an honour. It's awesome.
Well, 2019 started off really well for us. I know it was a slow start. We had our little break at the start, a little hiatus, and we've come back. So thank you for... bearing with us. If you enjoyed the podcast, always hit us up at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. You can leave a review as well. That'd be fantastic. And Brad, any final thoughts before we end the issue?
Nothing. It's just I'd like to see Spider-Man coming out of his shell, stop doubting himself as much. It's kind of a shame that he's missing out on all the goodies, but you know, I'm always down to catch some octopus goodness.
Yeah, and that will be next week. Dr. Octopus will be back. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Right, I'm off to eat my chips and beans. Have a great night, guys. Thank you for listening to my bullshit. See you later.
Goodbye.
Mic drop.